This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 7th of October 2015 on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. Today I'm joined in studio by Dominic Maxwell, theatre critic for The Times, who's armed with information on a trio of productions worthy of your attention this month. Over the next 15 minutes, we'll see how good the folks at the Apollo Theatre are at thinking on their feet in Showstopper, the improvised musical. We'll take a look at Gregory Durand's latest Shakespeare production, Henry V. And finally, we'll be introduced to Florian Zeller's compelling new drama about an elderly man trying to get to grips with his dementia in The Father. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Hello and welcome to the Arts Review, and welcome, Dominic.
Hello.
We're going to begin with a bit of improv at the Apollo Theatre. Not between you and me, but at the Apollo.
Well, a little bit between you and
me. Since this isn't scripted. Showstopper, the improvised musical. It's a production that takes on a new persona each night as the audience dictates what happens. Dominic, this sounds like the sort of thing that could go horribly, horribly wrong.
It could, couldn't it? We're absolutely in safe hands here. We're about as safe hands as you can be with impro. They've been doing this show for about 7 years, they've created 600 or more musicals off the top of their heads. I first saw them about 7 years ago, and they're actually only getting better. They are this amazingly tight team, 6 performers, a director, 3 musicians, and there are points at which you go, I can't believe they're making this up as they go along. This is as good as fill in name of last West End musical you saw.
We'll come on to that question in a moment, but first of all, explain to us how it works. They come out on stage.
They come out, the director, Dylan Emery, who created it with one of the performers, Adam Megiddo, he asks us for ideas, he asks us for a title, he sort of goes around the audience until he's found a title we all like, he asks for a setting, and then on a blackboard he asks for suggestions for styles, or there might be specific shows, there might be things like Wicked or Seven Brides or Seven Brides for Seven Brothers or Jersey Boys, things like that. And at some point during the show, they're going to have to do a song in that style. So they set all that up. So the cast know when they come on, what the setting is, what the title is, some of the kind of styles they're going to have to be doing. Beyond that, they're on their own.
Now, you said before you can't believe they've never done this before. If they have been doing it for 8 years, is it quite possible that it's like, oh, they've asked us to do something about David Cameron, or they've asked us to do something about cheese, and you know they've got a cheese lyric lined up, or they've got a song about Tory politicians?
No, and the reason why not is they're very good at telling you a proper story as well. I mean, they it's spoofy and it's disposable, but they're really good. Even if you took the music away, this would be a good bit of long-form impro, because they know the sort of the building blocks of a musical, so they know the kind of song you're going to have and the kind of sentiment you're going to have. But what you can't do is, when you're building up characters on top of each other like this, is just drop in, sort of paste in old bits of material. It just wouldn't be possible. It'd be much harder, actually, than to make it up as they go along.
And the fact that the audience are so involved, I guess in some ways helps a lot, because the audience is invested in it being good as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we don't want them to fall on their faces. But I think anyone who's been to an impro show knows that for all the goodwill in the world, there are bits where you think, oh, God, this is a bit eggy. There are really, I don't want to oversell this, it is what it is, but there are really very few moments like that. And there are actually much more moments when you go, oh, my God, that's amazing. That's, you know, I'm stirred. I know this is nonsense, but I'm genuinely moved by that. And I'm moved partly by the sentiment within the story, and I'm also moved by the idea that a bunch of people can just create this stuff like that.
And I guess as well, from a commercial point of view, the fact that each night is different. Mm. It is the sort of thing that if you go with, you know, your partner on one night, you may decide to go with, you know, with friends another night, because you're going to see a very different show.
Yeah, and actually they did a thing, they invited critics to come and review or come and see 2 shows.
Ah, okay.
So I went to see a matinee and an evening performance. And sort of after the matinee, I thought, well, that was great. You know, what's the point of seeing the evening performance? I could go home. But I'm so glad I did, because they were so totally different. And so, complementary, and they both did the same thing, but each had their own different strengths. And each time there was maybe a different performer who particularly shone. It's a lot of fun. I would certainly pay to go and see it again.
Okay, well, there we are. I mean, that's a pretty good recommendation. That Showstopper, the improvised musical Showstopper, of course, has an exclamation mark. It's on at the Apollo until November the 29th. Let's move on now to the Royal Shakespeare Theatre in Stratford, where Gregory Doran's production of Henry V is now on. Doran is the artistic director of the RSC and known, of course, for his fantastic Shakespearean adaptations. Gregory Doran has done some fantastic shows down the years at the RSC. Is Henry V up there with them?
Yeah, it is. And I wasn't expecting huge amounts from it for two reasons. One is I'd seen his Henry IV, which with his partner Anthony Sher and with Alex Hassel, who plays Henry in this, playing Hal in that. And I really wasn't at all taken with Hassel or with the show in general. And it got lots of great reviews. Really didn't do it for me. I thought, this is sort of deathly Shakespeare, the kind of thing that puts me off. So there was that. And there's plus the fact that Henry V is one of those Shakespeare plays. It's a bit like if it were a Bond film, it would be Thunderball. It's, you know, it's good.
It's solid. Fine. Yeah.
But it's not one of the tippity-top ones. And yet in this, and one of the reasons for that is it's often quite martial, often kind of people saying, huzzah, it's sort of nationalistic and let's show the French a thing or two. Yes, and all that's still there. But it's really quiet and unmacho and thoughtful and even funny, this one.
What is it you think that is different about this production of Henry V to the one of Henry IV that you didn't like? Is it still done in the same style, but it's, you know, the story's better or the production values are better?
I think maybe just the actor suits this story better. And what they've done is, like I say, I mean, even great actors and great Henrys can often be quite lusty, quite shouty, quite arms akimbo. Oh, that's fine. That can be great too. I mean, Jude Law did that very well a year or two ago. But what Hassel does here, which is, I think, deceptively daring, is he reins it right in. So he's almost not acting at all sometimes. And he's playing an actor trying to come to terms with playing a leader, just as Henry, let's not go too intense in this, but just as Henry the man is trying to figure out how to be Henry the king. And it works. It's about 2 hours until he finally starts strutting around the stage on the Band of Brothers speech, really acting like a king.
And you actually see that progression within him.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's great. He trusts us. He trusts the text, and he trusts us, the audience, enough not to sort of say, "Yeah, I'm a king. Believe I'm a king." He lets himself find that, and he lets us find that.
This production is obviously going to be in Stratford for quite some time. Then it's coming to the Barbican here in London. Then it's going abroad, and not just to New York, as, you know, a lot of RSC productions have done in the past, but Shanghai, Beijing, Hong Kong as well, early next year. Can you see the production working quite as well, certainly in China and Hong Kong?
Yeah, I think so, because it's universal. The ideas about leadership, about growing up, about sort of finding out who you are and becoming a leader. Yeah, I think those are universal. And like I say, this is subdued enough that it allows the audience time to find their own way to it.
And finally, just one word about Gregory Doran. It's, where do you think he goes next from here?
Now you've put me on the spot.
I mean, because he's been at the RSC for a long time now.
Well, no, a couple of years.
But in terms of, you know, he was doing, you know, he's done Shakespearean productions at the RSC from, you know, from long before he was artistic director. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think his next challenge is? Like, what would you like his next challenge at the RSC to be?
If he keeps coming up with stuff as good as this, I'm very happy for him to carry on as he's going. I know there are some plays. I think basically he wants to tick off all the Shakespeare's. So I think that's sort of preset. I think he's going to be doing Shakespeare's he hasn't directed before. So off the top of my head, I can't remember what those are. But I know there's some quite big ones he hasn't done yet. But this approach, this sort of lack of bombast and this humour without being facetious for a second is really good.
Okay. Now, finally, let's end up at Wynnum Theatre's for The Father, which follows Andre, an 80-year-old man grappling with dementia. This play has been extremely well reviewed by critics, with at least 8 5-star reviews so far from the National British Press. What is it that makes it quite so good, Dominic?
This is the tricky one, because, yeah, I'm one of the people who gave it 5 stars.
That's all right.
And I start telling people, well, it's this brilliant play, right? And it's about dementia. And you can see people's just sort of eyes glazing over slightly as if they're saying, yeah, maybe not for me. And I get that. One of the reasons why it's so great is because it lulls you into it. It's quite funny, not remotely heavy-handed. In fact, quite the opposite. It slowly makes you realise that this bright, enterprising, plucky old dude is kind of losing track of everything. And because the way it's staged, it shows us losing track of what's going on just as he's losing track of what's going on. It shows furniture disappearing. It shows one actor playing his daughter one moment, another actor playing his daughter the next. And so while staying sort of very steady and almost clinical, on the other hand, we're absolutely adrift. I still feel I'm losing people here. It's really hard to just, yeah, I know. It does sound like it's hard work. I think it uses the power of theatre to get us into other people's frame of mind. I think that's why it's so exciting.
And is it translated well? Because it's originally written in French by Florian Zeller. Does the translation work well?
Yeah, it's Christopher Hampton, who has track record of translating French plays at the Wyndham's Theatre, actually. He did Arts, which ran for a zillion years there. Mm. And yes, I mean, it's adroit, it's zippy, it feels natural. I mean, they're very French in that they sip from exquisite coffee cups and sip red wine, and they have this lovely, tasteful apartment. And I mean, I think I said it.
That can be English as well. But yes.
But it's sort of like a Conran shop, King Lear. You know, there is this great tragedy, great pain, and it will probably make you cry, but it'll also make you laugh as well.
Which is essentially, you know, what you want from a play about dementia. You don't want to just be crying.
No, you don't want it, because it is horrific, and you don't want to be. You want to feel you get it a bit more. You want to feel you understand it a bit more. And you know, I've had relatives with dementia. I'm sure lots of people listening have. And who knows? It may be coming my way too. And I feel like it gives me just that little bit more of an insight into it. And crucially, it's only about 80 or 90 minutes, so you've got time for a drink afterwards as well.
Okay, well, that is quite important. As we said, it's been reviewed incredibly favourably, 8 5-star reviews. Is it something about the, is it the performances as well that make it outstanding? Because, I mean, you've got Kenneth Branagh and Claire Skinner.
Kenneth Branagh, I mean, ooh, this is acting. And again, this is a bit like Alex Hassel. This isn't acting in a kind of cartwheeling, virtuosic, although it is virtuosic, but it doesn't advertise itself. You just buy him as this old guy. He's funny. He's very likable. And again, only slowly towards the end does it go into a kind of agony that doesn't force itself on you. And It's easy to overlook, I think, Claire Skinner, because she's very much, she's sort of playing bass in this band. She's the long-suffering daughter. And it's a totally unselfish performance, because there's no acting going on that you can see. And that's why it's so good. You just totally believe she is who she says she is.
Mm. And an actor probably best known in the UK, sadly not for her stage work at all, but for being on TV.
Yes, the sitcom whose name temporarily escaped.
Outnumbered.
Outnumbered, that's the one.
Yes,
yeah, there we
indeed,
go.
Where She Plays Her Mother. Anyway, so that is The Father, starring Claire Skinner and Kenneth Cranham, written by Florian Zeller, translated by Christopher Hampton, and we might as well say it's directed by James McDonald as well. I don't want to leave him out. And that brings us to the end of the Arts Review. Dominic Maxwell, thank you very much indeed for joining us. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. Kathy Rentzenbrink will be here for our weekly book review. But for now, thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.